This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Thank you very much, Jill. So what we saw there was that, yes, in Matthew he records two ancient prophecies that spoke about Jesus. There was the idea that a baby would be born to a virgin, and it would be called Emmanuel. And then secondly, that this future king would come from a backwater of Bethlehem. And I think that's really remarkable. That's not just predicting or guessing or hoping to get right that someone will say a bird or a cheese or a ship. That's really specific. In the Old Testament, the bit of the Bible written hundreds of years before Jesus came, there are loads of prophecies about Jesus' coming. Now, most of them are actually about the sort of person he would be and what he would come to do. So actually, as predictions, they're helpful, as we're going to see in a second. But they're not like proof. They're not miraculous in that sense. But there are some prophecies which are about the details of his life and his birth. That a king would come to Israel, which actually, at that time, was madness. Israel didn't have a king. It was now a dominated power. It had no hope of ever wresting control from Rome, or before that, Greece. And the town of his birth isn't the town you would expect a king from. And then that his mother would be an unmarried virgin. Well, first of all, that's just obviously a really bold prediction, isn't it? If you're going to predict anything, you want to predict something that's quite likely, like the fact that I will eat too much at Christmas lunch. But no, predicted that this child will be born to an unmarried virgin. That's really setting the bar of fulfillment high. And then here's the other thing. That a king would be born to an unmarried virgin, when that would bring disgrace. A king would never normally be chosen from that sort of family history. And then later on, it isn't just his birth, even more his life, and then in particular his death. Jesus' execution and its details are also predicted, down to the details of the execution, which was a form of execution which didn't exist when the prophets wrote. And yet Isaiah 53 describes it so graphically. And even more than that, when no one would have expected God's expected Saviour King to die on a cross. They expected him to be victorious and throw off the earthly powers. No, when you read the Old Testament, it is miraculous, truly miraculous. If you want to see a miracle, a live miracle, read the Old Testament and see how it points to Jesus hundreds of years later. But that isn't the main point of prophecy. We're going to come back to that in a bit later. Please be seated. Now, Lorna, I need your help again. I've got an important job for you to do. Yeah, really important. It's vital. And that job is, if you just stand here, are you a trustworthy person?
Very trustworthy.
I can rely on you?
Absolutely.
Good. Because I've got a small snack for later for myself.
Have you?
And yeah, very excited about it. And they're mince pies. I love mince pies. I haven't hit peak mince pie this Christmas yet. So I've just got to go off and do it like two or three jobs. And while I'm away, mm-hmm. I'm just worried about that lot.
Mm.
Yeah, look at them. They're looking hungry. Actually, some of them are looking very, very well fed indeed. But if you could make sure that none of the 8 mince pies disappear. Can you do that?
None of the 8 mince pies disappear.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though, you get the gravity of this. This is really important, really okay. Serious. So I just need you to make a slight promise.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing too formal, but if you could just repeat...
I promise I'll look after mince pies.
No. If you could just repeat these words after me.
Okay.
I, Lorna Catherine Stanley...
I, Lorna Catherine with a K and an R-Y-N, Stanley... It's important, those C Catherines.
Don't disrespect the promise.
I, Lorna Catherine Stanley.
Promise I'll look after the mince pies.
Promise I will look after the mince pies.
I will not eat one myself.
I will not eat one myself.
I will stay here and focus.
I will stay here and focus.
And I will stop anyone else eating them.
And I will stop anyone else eating them.
Excellent. Okay. Right. So I'm just going to go and you just look after them. It's fine.
Okay.
Brilliant. Okay. Excellent. Fantastic. Just look after. Have a quick mulled wine. Looking forward to the mince pies later. It's quite tiring doing services, especially at midnight. Lorna, how's it going?
Mm-mm.
Is it going really well? I kind of noticed that there's a slight rearrangement of the plate there. And what would this be? You're going to struggle to talk for the next little bit, aren't you? It turns out that mince pies are really very drying, aren't they? And if you speak right now, everyone out there is going to get showered with pastry. That's good. If anyone could get a glass of water for Lorna, that would be really useful. No, she's okay. You're all over it, aren't you? Okay, well, listen, I'm a bit disappointed because you said that and you said you weren't going to eat them and then you changed your mind.
No,
I'm sorry, Lorna. That's not a mince pie. That's something horrible.
That's what my mum
says. So, listen... I believe in giving second chances. So,
I'm really sorry, David.
And there goes
I'm really
the
sorry,
yes, I know. So, can you look after the other 7 mince pies, please? Can
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Excellent. 7 and a bit.
Yes, thank you for that. Okay. Right.
This one looks a bit like the ones I get served at home.
Just keep your focus, Lorna.
7.
Don't get distracted. Don't forget.
Mm-mm. I won't forget. Ooh. Ooh. Hello, Mr. Clown. Oh. 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 Can he juggle? He can. Oh. 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 Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. How's it going, Lorna? You're struggling with the maths, Lorna. It's like you need a good maths teacher, isn't it?
The thing is, I don't think I am struggling with the maths.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6. And the little bit.
There's 6.
Lorna, How did that happen?
I forgot. I know I was meant to carefully watch them, but then the clown.
The clown. A clown?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Clown,
okay.
And he juggled,
a clown
just, and then he juggled here, and it was so
and you
great.
Just, you just forgot.
I did.
It's your last chance, Lorna.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6,
and a bit.
And a bit.
Okay, right, just watch it, please. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on it.
Yep. Six. Six mince pies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6 mince pies.
So, Lorna, how's it going? Lorna, no. No. No, not even a plate's left anymore. What happened?
They came.
Well, why didn't you stop them?
They were really strong.
Were they?
They
were
had they, to be.
Were they terrifying as well?
They were terrifying.
And quite
strong.
Ugly.
They were really ugly.
Yes, I know, yeah. But still. Oh, listen, I do understand.
I couldn't hold them back.
I do want to say it's really hard to keep your promise when just something stronger comes along, doesn't it? It stops
you.
No,
so.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry, I changed my mind.
Don't worry, Lorna.
Well.
Okay, I'm a forgiving person. It's okay. So just go down to the shops, get me some more, and bring them back for later, okay? Maybe with a nice Christmas pudding, just to make up for it.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Lorna.
Maybe,
okay.
Maybe a turkey?
Turkey would be good, yes. That'd be really good. Thank you for that. Oh, thank you. Well, Lorna, that was... I would say thank you, but you did totally fail. Okay. Sometimes people think that prophecy is all about just predicting the future, and you think, well, why didn't the prophets have lots of money because they always won the lottery? But actually, that isn't the main point of prophecy. Yes, prophecy is about God saying what will happen. But it's not just that God sort of looks into his crystal ball and sees the future. It's more like this. God says, in the future, I am going to do this. And because he's God, he does it. The reason I can't say that, I can't say in the future, I am going to, I don't know, climb Everest, is because I'm only a human being. As we sought for Lorna, she said she would look after my mince pies. But there were three problems. Firstly, she kind of changed her mind, didn't she? She made a promise, but then she changed her mind. Secondly, she then forgot about keeping her promise and got distracted by a slightly dubious clown. But the third was, she just wasn't powerful enough. The first two are kind of Lorna's not doing what she said she would. The third is, she wanted to look after the mince pies, but she wasn't strong enough. Not so with God. The fact that he is the prophecy fulfiller, the fact that at Christmas we see he's kept his promise, even when everything seemed to be going against it. You know, these promises were often made when God's people were crushed and oppressed. When things were hard, when it seemed like being God's people wasn't any help at all, when life was really difficult, God made these promises. And out of that unpromising situation, God fulfilled every one of them. Lorna changed her mind. She decided she didn't want to keep her promise anymore and ate the mince pie. God never changes his mind. Lorna was distracted and forgot what she had promised. God never forgets. And Lorna was stopped from keeping her promise by 4:12's greed. No one can stop God. And that is amazing because it says this. God's promises are the only thing in our lives that we can actually build our life on, that are secure enough to anchor our life to. Everything else will change and fade and fail, but his promises never do. That's what Christmas reminds us of. He is the promise-keeping God. So whatever your life feels like right now, you might feel like God's people in 300 BC, when it felt everything was going wrong, everything was hard. But then you could root your life in God's promises. And you would have security in that. And that's what we can do today. Whatever our lives, we can find security in God's promises. And what are his promises? Well, they're in Jesus' names. The name Jesus, that he saves his people from their sins. The promise that I can be washed clean, wiped away all of my guilt and wrongdoing, and made right with God. And Emmanuel, God with us. That he will stay with us. And not just now, but forever. And that's the most amazing promise of all. The promise of eternal life. Do you know, sometimes maybe you felt eternal life just sounds too good to be true. It sounds amazing to have everything I love about this life sort of magnified a gazillion times. And all that makes this life seem hard and tiring and I wish it didn't go on forever is gone. It just seems too good to be true. And isn't that just a promise made by someone who wants to, I don't know, manipulate me? No. It's a promise made by the promise-keeping God. And that is a promise to live your life for this Christmas time. Amen.